Turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. So we pick up where we left off last week. We heard the parable of the soils last week. And today we hear the next parable that goes with that parable. A very short parable, verses 16 through 18 in chapter 8 of the Gospel according to Luke. Let us now give our attention to the reading and preaching of God's Word. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So far the reading of God's holy word. Last week, we heard the parable of the four soils. And we were reminded how going to church is actually very dangerous if we don't pay careful attention to what we're doing. Just as there are many things that we do in life that seem ordinary or they're regular things that we do, can be dangerous, such as driving a car in traffic or cutting vegetables with a sharp knife or even walking down a flight of stairs. All of those things can be dangerous if we don't pay attention to what we're doing. Well, so too can going to church be very dangerous. It's not always safe. And we should never assume that it is safe. Because the Word of God, as it goes out, is not doing the same thing to every person. It is always doing something to everyone. It's doing something to all of you right now. It's either hardening your heart or softening your heart. But it is never neutral. It is never dormant. It never lies asleep. Make no mistake about that. And if you're concerned about that, well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Just as we should be concerned about getting onto the freeway as we're coming in to it off of an on-ramp. We need to pay attention. Because what happens in worship, you see, is not only do we meet with the living God in the way that He has prescribed, but we hear Him speak to us. The living God. The God to whom we are to offer acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Because He is a consuming fire. Not words from the Old Testament, but from the New. The God who is alive. And the God who has prescribed the chief part of worship to be listening. You know, sometimes we think that worship is the singing. And then there's just the message. Oftentimes we've even heard people say that. Oh, that church over there has great worship. And what they mean is the music and the singing is a certain style. But listen, worship is your listening as well as your singing. It's the whole service. In fact, our listening is the most important thing we do in the whole service. Because it's by hearing the Word of God, hearing God speak to us, that our faith in Jesus Christ is created and sustained. That our hope in heaven is made strong. And that love for God and neighbor is produced. Only the Word of God, as it is proclaimed to us, has the power to produce faith, hope, and love. And this is why going to church is actually the most significant and important thing we do in all of life. But if we don't pay attention to how we hear that word, we actually put ourselves in tremendous danger. If we don't receive that word in true faith and submit to it, as that which it truly is, the Word of the living God. Well, that same Word will actually harden our hearts and not produce life in us, but produce death. For the Word of God is, as I said, never dormant. It's living and active, as the book of Hebrews says. It's doing something all the time. And that was Jesus' point in the parable of the soils and also in this parable as well. This parable really is a follow-up to that parable that we heard last week. Christ is the sower, throwing the seed out, which is His Word, and it lands on different types of soil. And the only good soil is that which is heard with faith. But the seed that falls on bad soil, that is, those who are hardened in heart and don't receive it, or receive the Word in a superficial way, or are distracted too much by the cares of the world, will not produce fruit. And that's exactly what this parable was doing, even as Jesus told it to the crowds. Even as He was uttering these things, it was actually hardening the hearts of some and softening the hearts of others. It was concealing the secrets of the kingdom of God to some and revealing them to others. And that's exactly what it does, even as we hear it. And now Jesus gives us this other parable, this very short parable that makes the same point. And the parable is intended, as J.C. Ryle put it a long time ago, to nail and clinch in our minds the mighty lesson which the parable of the soils contains. Like the parable of the soils, this parable of the lamp and the jar is about hearing the Word of God. It's about hearing the Word of God. We don't want to confuse this language here with very similar language that Jesus uses in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, He says in the Sermon on the Mount that you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Well, all of that is true, of course. We are to let our light shine in the world. And the city that's set on a hill is not the United States of America, as one president once said, but the church. According to Jesus, it's the church. But that's not what Jesus' point is in this parable. So if we're hearing, we need to hear what the point is. The point is about hearing the Word of God. The preached word that goes out every week all around the globe is like light going forth into a dark world. But to fail to hear that word properly, to fail to listen to it, is like smothering the light by putting it under a jar or taking a trash can and sticking it over a lamp. Who would do that? But that's what happens when we harden ourselves to hearing God's word. So the point of Jesus' parable is this. Make use of the light of the Word. Take care then, as Jesus says, how you hear. And the primary way we do that is what? It's by doing what we're doing right now. Listening to the preached Word. Listening to the preached Word. You know, it's so important that we listen to the preached Word properly. There are so many books about how to preach God's Word. I know I've read probably 50 of them. Seriously. And spent years in graduate school learning how to preach God's Word. But there's very little written about listening to God's Word. And just as there is preaching that must be done and good preaching is needed, well, so too is good listening needed. The minister is not the only one to be doing the work in the service. It's not entertainment. It's not a stage performance. There is a sort of dance between the preaching and the listening. And we need to take care how we hear. Jesus tells us. Jesus warns us. So what I want to do this morning is make three applications of this to us. This is a good point in our life as a congregation to hear three particular and practical applications of how we can listen properly to the preaching of the Word. First of all, by preparing for the preached Word. Secondly, by paying attention to it while it's being preached. And third, by putting into practice what we heard preached. That's simple. Preparing for it, paying attention to it while we're hearing it, and then finally putting into practice what we heard preached. And so let's hear now what God says to us. First of all, preparing for the preached Word. If we want to take care how we hear the Word, Well, we need to start by preparing to hear that word. If we want to listen to preaching properly, we should begin by preparing for that. You know, it's so easy to fall into the rut, really, of merely rushing off to church on Sunday morning, putting almost no thought, really, into what we're about to do when we arrive. And it's normal. It becomes a routine and just part of our life. But think about it. Sometimes, what do we do beyond simply setting our alarm clock, putting our clothes on, making sure all the kids look halfway acceptable, and getting into the car and getting over here? Are we really preparing to hear God speak to us? And we need to think about that. Hearing God speak to us is the main event of the day and really the main event of our week and the most significant thing we do throughout our entire lives. You know, the purpose of coming to church, and listen, especially you younger people, the purpose of coming to church is not to see your friends, although that can be nice. We're fellow pilgrims and we need to see each other. And I, like the rest of you, I want my Bob Hannibal hug when I come in the morning. But we have to remember that the purpose of going is not, oh, good, I get to see my buddies. Or even worse, oh, I hope I get to meet that girl. Or I get to meet that guy. There are plenty of places for that kind of thing. But church, even though where that may take place, that's not the point. The point is you're going to hear God speak. You're going to hear God speak. And do we prepare for that? If we fail to prepare for that, if we come with no expectation of meeting with God at all, if Sunday morning is, if the church is merely just a period of time that takes up part of my Sunday, then we risk smothering the light of the Word, like smothering a lamp under a jar. Jesus says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." In the first century world, you know, long before electricity, they would typically have these lamps, especially in the Mediterranean, that were filled with olive oil. They were small and oval shape, and they would take them and they would set them up in a high alcove somewhere in their house, or they would put it on a stand. For the same reason that our lamps are often fixed to the ceiling or they're up high on a stand or on a high table, because it brings light to the room. Boys and girls, you wouldn't take a light, would you, and shove it under your bed and turn it on, right? Unless you're looking for something under there, but that's not going to light your room very well. Well, the same, Jesus says, is with the preaching of the Word, with hearing the Word. Hearing the Word, we must make use of it, proper use of it. And the first way we do that is by preparing. We need to remember the Word of God is a lamp that reveals the light of Christ. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Do we prepare for that? I'm going to have a lamp lit to my path today because I am in a dark world. My mind is still healing from the darkness from which I came. The Word illumines the truth to us about God. It illumines the truth to us about ourselves. It illumines the truth to us about redemption. It shines truth to us about heaven. It brings us all of these things that only it can, only its special revelation can provide to us. We will not hear those things in any other voice in this world. Only from the voice of God's Word. And it reveals Christ to us, who is the light of the world. Remember what Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, that priest Zechariah, said back in chapter 1 of Luke, when he gave his great prophecy. He ended it by saying that Christ would come into the world. Why? Listen, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. That light has come. And Zechariah's prophecy was only extending the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, who said in chapter 9, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." That it would come to Israel as she was languishing in the darkness of her sin and her covenant disobedience. This great light would come. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, that great Prince of Peace came with the announcement of all the light of heaven as angels filled the sky, right? And now he comes like light into the world, and his word is light to us. He is the word. Light has dawned in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, do we realize that when we come into church? Do we prepare for that? And realize that tomorrow morning, on Saturday night, tomorrow morning, I am going to receive the light of life, to be guided into the way of peace. For apart from that word, I can't be guided. I am going to hear God speak to me. Hearing Christ preached in His word, you see, is something for which we should adequately prepare. So how do we do that? How do we prepare? Well, first of all, by coming with an expectation. An expectation. Merely, well, okay, I'm going to go sit through this for 2 hours and listen to Mike drone on and on. If you're coming to hear Mike Brown, God help you. I wouldn't cross the street to hear Mike Brown. Seriously. And if you are, you're in bad shape. We come to hear God. We come to hear Him speak to us in His Word through these means that He has designed. Yes, it's weak. Yes, there's a fallible and weak, sinful man who improperly splits infinitives and butchers the English language at times. But this is what God has designed. We come to hear with an expectation. Because as Paul says in Romans chapter 16, now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to what? My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for so long, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. That's how he ends his Magna Carta, his glorious magnum opus, I meant to say, his glorious letter to the Romans. It's through the preaching of Jesus Christ. And so to come to the preaching of the Word with an expectation of hearing from God means that we come ready to receive from Him ultimately. As the Puritan Thomas Watson put it, the voice is on earth, but the speaker is in heaven. Because it's His Word that we are coming to hear proclaimed. And we should meditate upon that, loved ones, as we come in to the Holy Assembly. And we should also come with an appetite for the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And to come with a good appetite means coming with a teachable heart that says, Lord, I need to eat today. I need meat. I need milk. I need protein. What would you have me to believe? What would you have me to do? And come ready for that. Typically, the Word is not going to meet all of your expectations. You should simply come with the expectation to receive from God. But what you hear may not be the thing that you think, well, that's really not what I needed today. Hey, trust me, God knows what you need. God knows what you need. And a whole lot better than you do. And our dear sister has heard plenty of sermons from this pulpit about the resurrection of the body, about heaven, about our hope, not in the next election or in my bank account or even in my health, but in the new heavens and new earth. And it's hearing those things, even at the time when you think you may not need to hear them most, that God is speaking to you and preparing you for that day when the doctor comes to you. because trying to learn theology in that moment is not easy. And so we come with the expectation, God is going to speak to me, and He knows what I need. He's given it to us in this fashion. We don't go through sermons picking out the things we like and collecting and gathering together and giving you a topical series. That is not preaching. We preach the Bible from beginning to end and in the way that He has designed it to be given. Not constructed piecemeal topics, but in the Word, as we're even hearing through the Gospel of Luke. Parable after parable, miracle after miracle, teaching after teaching, leading up to Christ's death. Epistle after epistle, prophet after prophet, psalm after psalm, historical book after historical book. And we need to come with the preparation that He will give us that which we need. So a teachable heart. Do you come with a teachable heart? And then finally, remember that when you come to enter the house of God, you're entering ultimately a battle arena. As Joel Beakey said so well, he calls it that Satan tries to use a 3D approach. Satan tries to disturb you before the sermon, distract you during the sermon, and dismantle the sermon from your mind as soon as it is finished. And remember that the devil is your enemy. There's not only the eternal internal enemy of sin, but there's the external enemy of Satan, who wants to come like a bird and snatch away the seed as it is being proclaimed. And so preparation, coming with these things. And one of the best ways to do that, loved ones, is to begin preparing on Saturday night. You don't need to spend hours and hours in meditation and on your face and in prayer and that kind of thing. But adequate rest and some prayer maybe the night before. Lord, please be with the minister and be with me and the congregation, for we go to hear You tomorrow. Praying in the morning. Lord, prepare me now to hear what You have to say. I know what I want to hear, but make me ready to hear what You have to say. And so preparation. Hearing the Word of God, loved ones, is serious business. Let's prepare ourselves to hear. Take care, Jesus says, how you hear. And then paying attention to it as it is being preached. So there's not only preparation, but paying attention to it as it is being preached. And now, you know, paying attention, obviously, is something nowadays that is becoming less and less a common thing. It is becoming more and more difficult for us as people living in a technologically advanced culture and a culture where technology is becoming more and more readily available and more advanced to lose our attention span. And you probably have heard some of the studies of sociologists and psychologists who are concerned about this very thing, that we are, as people, becoming better at multitasking. Stacking, I think, is what it's called right now. Watching TV, being on your laptop on the internet, and having your phone going at the same time. But we are becoming worse at paying attention to one sustained thing. And so many people are great at pulling quotes, sifting through books to find information, but have very seldomly read through a book that's laborious and difficult to read to actually gain the true argument. And this seems to be an epidemic now. And really, as I've said before, what other time during the week do you go and sit down and listen to a 30 or 45 minute monologue and receive something? You might do that in college for a while, to listen to lectures, if you're a good student. But for most of us, we rarely ever do that. Paying attention is becoming something more and more difficult because we're finding it more and more difficult to sit still and to listen. And yet listening to sermons can be a matter of life and death, eternal life and death. For, as Jesus says here in His parable, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And here he's ultimately speaking about the final judgment when, as Paul says in Romans 1, God will judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But the Word is already beginning that work now, you see. It's already going forth and doing that work now. Remember that not everyone who heard Jesus' parables on that day paid attention to how they heard. He wasn't giving something that was bringing more explanation. In fact, for many in the crowd, Jesus' parable concealed more than it revealed about the kingdom of God. That's what his parables did. They were not plain speech. They were cryptic messages that could only be understood ultimately with ears of faith, true faith. Because in his parables, he was pronouncing judgment and covenant curses upon unbelieving Israel. That's why he explained to his disciples back in verse 10 that to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others, they are in parables, so that, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And so they're in many ways like the woes that he would pronounce upon Israel, invoking covenant curses from Sinai in his parables, bringing judgment and death to those who don't believe, but salvation and life to those who do. Unless we think for a second, well, but that was the Mosaic covenant. We're not under that covenant, true. But remember the warning we heard and the call to worship from the book of Hebrews to the new covenant. Let's pay more careful attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. More careful attention. This is a command given to all of us as Christians. And so how do we do that? How do we pay careful attention? Well, first, by receiving the Word of God as that which it is, the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as that which it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you, believers. So paying attention to what we're hearing by faith and recognizing that it is the Word of God. Do we hear the preached Word in that way? Do we receive it as the Word of God? Believing what we hear and bowing down before it with reverence. That is the most important thing in taking care how we hear, to listen to it with faith and reverence. You're not coming to hear a man. You're coming to hear God speak to you. And then listen to what is being expounded and applied. And there's some passages and some weeks where that's difficult, not just because maybe, you know, you got two ankle biters jostling for position of the chair next to you, or because someone's making a noise, or as I heard last week, there was a wasp flying around the room. And maybe you are just tired, you didn't have a good night's sleep, you tried to prepare, and you couldn't sleep, you tossed and turned because you're over the age of 40 like me, and sleep just seems to be a thing of the past. Maybe there's all kinds of reasons. But we have to rein in our minds, don't we? And there's going to be weeks where the passage is difficult and it requires careful explanation, careful exposition. And you can be assured that this pastor has put in a lot of time to craft that sermon in such a way that the meaning of the text, the true meaning, is brought out clearly. And that it is done so not in a way that buries you under notes of exegesis, but is communicated in a way that we can understand and hear. And we're not to listen to it and to marvel at, wow, how that was a well-crafted sermon. Do you see how they were all P's? Did you see how the intro, and then he slipped into this, and then he went into this nice transition and moved into this nice transition, and then, oh, he brought out this for the kids, and then he went into the conclusion, which matched up with the introduction, and then, oh, it was wonderful and glorious. Now you're just admiring art. Now you're just admiring art. All that work is done not so that you can admire art, so that you can hear from God. These are the means. We have no choice here. I'm speaking with you as well as to you. As one of you, we need to hear from God. And that means at times reining in our minds, because we are distracted loved ones. We have a million things we're thinking about, particularly in our fast-paced culture. But when we come to hear the Word preached, let us be still. Let us be silent. Let us hear. Let us discipline our minds as disciples and hear what God says to us. For it is the Scripture which is breathed out by God, 2 Timothy 3:16, listen, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now, reproof and correction, that's stuff that most of us don't like, right? And this is the thing. As Pastor Linsner goes off to Colorado, he goes off not to be the friends, or to be the friend of the congregation there, but to be their pastor. Not to win them over with a winsome personality, but to be faithful with the Word of God. And that means at times bringing reproof and correction that makes us uncomfortable, because the Bible doesn't always make us comfortable. God doesn't make us completely comfortable. We need to hear it. We need to hear it. Pray for your minister that he'll have the courage to bring reproof and correction as it arises in Scripture. But not merely stick to the indicatives, but also to the imperatives. We need to hear it. That is how we pay attention. When the Word is preached, we need to take care how we hear. The minister should not be the only one doing hard work. And Calvin wrote about these things, and he said, "I teach you these things because of the importance of preaching." He had such a high view of preaching. In many ways, that's what the Reformation was about. And he says, "And that you may learn to desire sermons as your supreme blessing from week to week, and that you may learn to as actively participate in the sermon as the preacher himself, showing a willingness to obey God completely and without reserve as He comes to you in the sermon." In fact, Westminster Larger Catechism has a question dedicated to this after it goes through who should preach, ordained ministers, how should they preach, by faithful expositions of the Word, bringing out the gospel, the law, And then question 160, what is required of those that hear the Word preached? Answer, it is required of those that hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That they hear the Scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God, and that they meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. And that brings us to the last thing, putting into practice what we heard preached. So we need to prepare. We need to pay attention, and then we need to put into practice what we heard preached. Jesus says in verse 18, "Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Those who have are those who receive the Word in faith and respond to it in obedience. They receive the kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom that are made known openly in the Word that is preached, and they follow the King in response. And this was something that even Jewish literature had understood. It speaks in many places, such as in Proverbs 9, about the wise seeking after more wisdom and receiving more wisdom. "Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning." You see, to them, more will be given. But on the other hand, those who have not are the ones who do not receive the Word in faith. Those who do not receive it and respond to it in obedience. Oh, maybe they heard it, and they might nod and say, yep, true, great. But there's no response. Jesus said that these are those who think they have, and even what they think they have will be taken from them. This is just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the religious leaders who thought they had everything that really that they needed, and nothing else really was required of them at all. They thought they had a special status. I'm good to go. I don't need to respond. But you see, again, as J.C. Ryle said, the gospel which we possess was not given us only to be admired, talked of, and professed. Let me say that again. The gospel, I know we love the gospel, but the gospel that we possess was not given only to be admired, talked of, and professed, Ryle says, but also to produce in us practice. Ryle said it was not meant merely to reside in our intellect and memories and tongues, but to produce fruit seen in our lives. So how do we do that? Well, begin by thinking about what you heard. Talking about what you heard. Don't let what you heard merely roll off you like water off your back. I know it's difficult. I'm as much to blame as anyone else, that after the sermon, it's so easy to begin talking about lawnmowers and movies and whatever. Fine. But take time to remember what you heard and do whatever it takes to help yourself remember. If taking notes helps you, great. For others, not so much. That's fine. Whatever it is, using the notes here in the back, maybe, that are prepared for the kids, fine. Whatever it takes, do whatever is necessary to pay attention and then afterward to think about what you heard. And then ask yourself this, what does God require of me in that sermon? Did God tell me I need to forgive? Is there someone you need to forgive? You see, now when you don't, you're disobeying the Lord. And you're hardening yourself. What do I need to believe? Is God telling you to, in the sermon, to believe His promise of the resurrection? Is God calling you in the sermon to repent of your sexual immorality? Is God calling you in the sermon to pray? Go over these things. Think about what you heard. And heads of homes, parents, especially fathers, talk to your children. Talk to your children. Don't be the means of Satan in the car that immediately, like a viper, goes and begins critiquing the sermon so that the seed is snatched away. If you have a problem with the sermon, you go speak to the elders. Come speak to me. It may be that you've misunderstood something. It's quite possible. But come speak to your elders or to me. That's why they're here. If there's a problem doctrinally, then by all means, then we need to address that. But don't rob your soul, much less the souls of your little ones, of a blessing. And as Joel Beakey said, appreciate your ministers for the gifts they have. And don't be critical of them for the gifts they don't have. Every minister has different gifts, Beakey says. God willing, you will have more pastors than one throughout your Christian life, and you can appreciate the range of gifts they possess. This may come as a shock to you, a real shock. I don't have all gifts. I don't have all gifts. Appreciate that which God has given me. And don't be critical of that which He hasn't. But by all means, receive the word. Don't be hardened to it. And talk about it with your children. That's the reason these things are put together in the back. You don't have to use them, but do something. And for you single people, the same goes for you. Think about what you've heard. Meditate upon it. Lay open the Bible if you have to. Look at the text that was preached. Bring your notes out if you have them or whatever and pray over them. And pray and ask the Lord to cause that seed to go deep into your heart. Make use of the preaching of the Word. It's not magic, loved ones. It's a means of grace. But it requires our response. It requires our response. So prepare and pay attention while we hear, and then put into practice what you heard. Because there's nothing else like the Word of God. It is the light of life. It is the light that reveals Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It is that light that has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. It is that light that ultimately speaks of that great light that is yet to come, as the book of Revelation speaks of in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that shines all things so that there will be no need anymore of hearing the Word of God. There will be no churches there. There won't even be a sun. For God will shine all things. We won't need faith because it will all dissolve into sight. And there will be no more hope because it will all be reality. It will all be light. Light is such a huge theme in the book of Revelation, especially at the end. And that light comes to you now. It speaks of Jesus Christ, who bore your sins, all your darkness, upon the dark cross, to bring you out of darkness and into light. So hear His Word as He comes to you. Hear it. Hear it. Take care how you hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word, and we pray, Lord, that You would quiet our hearts to it and that Your will would be done. Lord, we look forward to that day when we will see Jesus, who is the light of the world. And thank You that You have called us into that light. Forgive us, O Lord, for acting at times as though we stand over Your Word. But may we recognize that it has authority over us and that we are accountable for how we hear. Lord, guard us, we pray, from hardened hearts to think that we are accountable only to ourselves, acting like consumers, and leaving the ministry of the Word if we don't like what we hear. Lord, help us to recognize by Your grace that Your Word evaluates us and stands in authority over us. And give us grace to pay attention to how we hear and trust that You will bear fruit in us with patience to Your glory. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.